Where's the short part of Captain Kane's season? Do you guys get that? We have the short and long of it. You have Barry Short and Captain Long. They're both running for it.
Got it.
The short and long of it? I think it's kind of funny.
Oh, the long and
the
short of it.
Long. Long and, the long and short of it. That's pretty funny, isn't it, really?
Hey, so...
I'm glad somebody finds it.
Did...
You're not finding it amusing?
Okay.
Hey, so you know what they say in politics. Say anything you want, just don't misspell my name.
You didn't get the MBA and the RDA?
That's all I got. I did not get anything else. The other
I'm part, glad it's you.
Well, it's not much, but I got it all.
Not me.
I know, because I just kind of went back through the last week, but it didn't come through.
The budget stuff was a little...
I think that's clock's slow.
Is it? Oh, yeah. It is 5:30. Hooray. We're on time. This is a city council action meeting tonight. It is June the 11th, 2025, and it is 5:30 p.m. This meeting is being held. Are we on the... We're on?
Oh, yeah. We're on.
Yeah, we're on. This meeting is being held at city offices at 10 North Main Street, Cedar City, Utah. We're honored this evening to have the Stake Relief Society president, Trina Harrison of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, the Enoch Stake, to offer our invocation, our opening prayer, after which Mr. Kent Fugel will lead us in the pledge. President?
Our dear, kind Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for the opportunity that we have to be here in this great community. We're so grateful for our freedom and for this great city. We pray that Thou will bless us today, that as leaders we will be wise, and that we will be able to have a listening ear, and that we will be able to make decisions that will be in accordance the best for this community. We are so thankful for the things that we do indeed have, and we're so thankful that we are able to unite together and be able to become as one. We pray for the sick or the afflicted or those that cause to mourn or the unseen, that we will be able to reach out to them and that they will feel of our love. We pray for these things humbly in the name of Thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
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 Thank you.
Please join me in the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much, President Harrison, and thank you, Mr. Spiegel.
Mayor,
thank you.
I would ask that we approve the action meeting for this city council meeting, as well as the RDA meeting and the NBA action meeting.
Second.
I have motion second. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
And that one was unanimous. Thank you. Big surprise. Gabby, would you like to come be first? Good.
Okay, good evening, Mayor and City Council members. My name is Gabrielle Costello, Community Relations Public Information Officer here for the city. Do you have a printout of the two logos, right? Okay, perfect. So they look, this is going to be an update on the America 250.
Do you have them for the screen?
I think I did send it over. Do you have that? It's okay.
He's not sure if he has or not.
I'll just hold
it's
it.
Okay. It's okay. Yeah, we'll hold it up.
You can tell the difference from back there. You're good.
Yeah.
I know. They look pretty similar, especially from afar. But this is an update to the America 250 logo, and this is altering our logo temporarily to go along with the America 250 nationwide campaign to acknowledge America's 250th birthday. So this was now this is not AI or ChatGPT. This is a real designer, and he'll give us the file for whichever one we like best. So I took in a, gave the notes what you had mentioned at the other meeting. And so basically the only real difference in these two when comparing is there's more stars on option two. You see how the blue ribbon goes across.
Less stars.
Less stars
on option two.
option two. Well, see the little blue ribbon at the top of the flag at the bottom.
There's fewer stars on our option two.
Oh, is there? Oh, I got them swapped. Okay, yep. Mm-hmm. I see. Yep, you're right. Thank you. Okay, yeah. So option one, more stars. Option two, less stars. And it's just at the bottom of that banner of the American flag. But we did add the U.S. flags, replaced our Festival City flags up in the top over the sun. America 250's there at the bottom. So
yeah, with the stars up in the corner.
Feel free to add any comments or more suggestions. Or
they look great.
They both look great. I like that option two looks more like the flag.
More like the American flag.
I would concur with
the banner at the bottom.
Well, yeah, okay. It's the stars in the upper right.
The stars in the upper left-hand corner, and then it looks more like the actual flag itself.
Yeah. Okay.
Are you guys all in
agree? That's the only, yep, we all agree.
We all agree. We like that one best.
Option two.
Uh-huh.
Okay,
because it replicates more of the American flag at the bottom.
Okay, perfect. So thank you so much. So this all starts July 1 this year. So we're going to kind of, like we said, temporarily alter some letterhead, social media, flyers, or things like that. So we'll get started on all that.
Would you make sure that file gets sent to Rainbow and to Maria? Because
yes.
If they end up doing stuff, we want them to have the file.
Okay, perfect. And then right now, too, I do have on our city website, which all the cities have been asked to kind of have a place where people can go and see. And so since we don't have formal events or like published events yet, it's just at the bottom of our website, cedarcityut.gov, and it shoots people to the America 250 page for now. So starting July 1, it'll shoot them to things that we're doing as a city or the county.
Thank you. Okay,
you're welcome.
Good job. Excellent. I meant to start before Gabby, however, by having a chance to introduce those candidates who have signed their name last week on the dotted line and agreed to run for offices, either city council or mayor. There's five of them in the room that I know of, but there's two or three people that I don't know who they are that have signed up, and if they're here, I'd like to give them a chance. But let's start with the incumbents here.
Councilman Scott Phillips running for re-election.
Correct.
Councilman Ron Riddle running for re-election.
Good job. Kathy?
You need to come to the mic probably so the public can get it on record.
We'll get you a stool.
Yeah, thanks. Kathy Long, I'm running for city council.
Thank you. Any other council candidates and mayor candidates, please?
Steve Nelson, running for mayor, and I was sitting by the next one that will come up and introduce himself.
You're gonna let him come.
It's fun to have respect for those that we're running against, and hope to just have the public have a great opportunity to be able to decide what direction they want to go. So
good. We hope so.
Short speech of the year.
Well, I don't know. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, I told Phil Schmidt, running for mayor, I told Steve, I said, you know, Steve, we're two couple. We can stand up there and talk together and have our arm around each other and wish everybody the best. And they just got to decide which way they want to go. So
that's right.
We're actually looking for a fun campaign and an opportunity to serve Cedar City.
You get sworn in, and then you start getting sworn at.
That's correct. Thank you. And we do appreciate all the people who are willing to run and take it on and try. And it's a great, wonderful system, and really looking forward to it. Good race. I don't have any other business, council members.
Nothing about your Denver trip?
Well, I can. We did go. There was five of us that went to the American Water Works Association convention in Denver. It was a good convention. It was well attended, probably about normal, and a vast amount of booths. I've attended. This is my 10th time going to that convention. They're exhausting, but it's where you see the manufacturers and the products, the new products, and what they have, and it fills the Denver Convention Center, and they did a really fine job. I was appreciated to be accompanied by Mr. Wilkie, who went with us, plus Jonathan Staffis, and Ryan Marshall, and
Matt
Baker, our water engineer, our water, excuse me, superintendent. And I think Kent and I were the Ryan went last year with me. So this was his second show. The others, I think, were all on their, it was their first rodeo, and I hope they enjoyed it. I say 100 trade shows. I don't think it's quite that many, but it's probably close to 70 in the last 35 years. And I dare challenge anybody to match that. So that's a lot. That's a lot of chin ache, let me tell you. Okay. Yeah. Convention was good. We got back late last night or early this morning.
Well, and Ryan's still there.
Still coming. He's doing another day.
Whew. Anybody else? I was going to say more about the convention, but I don't want to.
Well, we weren't there, so if you want to say something about
It was really good. We got to see all the actual filters that are going up the canyon. We got to see both the pre-filter and the main filters. The actual manufacturers were there, and so we actually got to sit and play with the vessels and see how big everything is, and you know, to realize we're going to be putting 38 of them into one building is quite a lot, and we learned a little bit more, and we also saw the company that builds the filters for the wastewater treatment plant. We got to meet all those guys. We got to meet Mayor. You missed the best. You forgot to mention the best part about the.
Well, I don't know whether I.
Well,
go ahead. They said they were announcing at the trade show. So
yeah,
there
go. The company that bought the old Mueller plant out west, this trade convention was actually their official announcement to the world and to their company and to their everybody that they were moving to Cedar City, and we happened to be there when they made the announcement, so they invited us all to dinner for the big announcement, and we got to meet them, and they're going to start off with roughly 20 employees, and they'll grow it to over 100 employees is their plan, and they're
and
very
for the
excited.
Public that doesn't know, what do they do?
They do PVC pipe, and they're actually the first. The mayor loves it. He was having a heyday with it, because what it is they make PVC pipe just like a lot of people do, but they actually make, the closest thing is if you've ever seen a shark bite fitting where you can actually have a fitting, you just push it into the pipe and it has little teeth that grabs onto it. They do that, but for 8-inch, 12-inch.
Oh, wow.
They do that for big pipe. And so you now have PVC pipe with PVC fittings instead of PVC pipe with ductile iron fittings.
That's great.
And so they're the first ones to do it. And
oh, man.
Oh, yeah.
I went crazy over that. Well, I mean,
Phil?
Phil? It's a little silly to put a PVC pipe in and then put a ductile iron fitting on it.
So
I mean, what did you accomplish?
So yeah,
of course he likes ductile iron, but
and it's a lot more expensive.
It literally is industry changing when they make an approved PVC fitting to go with C900 pipe.
And they said they're right here in Cedar. We'll have a direct account with
build
them.
It
we won't
in
have to
Cedar
go through
City.
A supplier. We can just go straight
ship
down to the manufacturer and
City.
Pick it up.
Whew. Love it.
It's
a massive building out there. Yeah. You don't realize how big it is until you go right over next to it. That Cerro building, the Mueller building.
Yeah, massive. We also got to meet a company that can take if L goes as planned, they can take a tank rehabilitation from 4 months down to 7 days. So they actually can redo our water tanks in a lot less time with a lot less money, they claim. So they put a liner inside of it instead of redoing it. They go in there with a big rubber liner and
Brought that in. They gave me one of the little liners.
Yeah, they gave us a mini liner, and so it was a lot. And there was classes. You're going to start hearing a lot of. There's two directions they're headed in. One is called One Water, which is it's talking a lot about reusing water. That was actually something that's interesting. There's actually a coalition in Utah that's starting with 70 cities. There's 70 cities right now looking at doing wastewater treatment plant reuse. So we're actually kind of on the forefront. We're moving ahead of, we're actually faster and ahead of most cities in Utah. So that, and then there's a big nationwide push called Water 2050. So that's kind of the big goal that everybody's looking for is water in 2050. And so it was really good. It was a lot of classes, a lot of technical. Oh my goodness, you get in some of those classes and they just start talking about terms and this and that, and it's hard to keep up. But
well, and I think, you know, along those lines with the reuse, it's I don't know if you saw, but there was an article in the Tribune this week about you know, the water district working on its application through the federal government to cross federal land with the water rights that the district has. And, you know, one of the people interviewed claimed that, you know, the project has to stop because it would only perpetuate Cedar Valley's wasteful water practices. And I think people forget that, you know, other than the Wasatch Front and St. George, we're the most efficient county for water use of anyone else in the state, you know, and we're approaching what our neighbors are doing on the Wasatch Front. I mean, we try to be a pioneer on that.
Yeah, one of the classes that I went to, they said water reuse, effluent reuse, is the number one most accessible water that we have access to, and only 10% of it in the country gets reused. And so one of the things that I learned, I didn't know you could do this, one of the big uses for reuse is you can actually use it to cool data centers.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's one thing I think we need.
We don't want any of that here.
But so. Just saying, big fact.
Big nuclear power plants.
Big evaporative.
Yeah, nuclear power plants.
You can use it for that kind of stuff, so I didn't know that. But while we're speaking about water, Mayor, just can you give us an update or somebody give us an update? I only learned this because I was there with the staff on our BLM, on our north the test well.
I don't think we've seen, we did. We saw the results on it off the top section, the volcanic. They call it something different, and it appeared to be producing a lot of water without finishing the well. You can't get the full test out of it. Volcanic ran for, it was pretty good, about 100, I think, if I remember right, about 120 feet of depth of that volcanic layer that we went through, and there was water in it. Below that, there was not. It was sand below that. There was not the rocky version as we have over on our south.
But the water was good, though. Well. The quality.
The water was good. It had a few exceptions that weren't, but they were, you know, there's probably something we can work with. So we basically capped it. It was filled when the test was done. And so we don't have the $1 million to finish it. So we put a cap on it. It's 3 miles north of the well, and on LeBaron, I talked to LeBaron a few minutes ago, and he bought well over $1 million worth of drilling equipment, 3 rigs, and he's drilling like crazy. And the other guys are on the south well, and they're drilling like crazy. So we're going to have wells out at Rush Lake.
Thank Jonathan.
So that BLM North well, the TDS was below 300.
Yeah, really low.
It was high in turbidity?
Yes, turbidity, aluminum, and
that might
iron.
Clean up, though.
Iron and aluminum.
Yeah, and that might get better as it's developed. So.
But still within specs of the culinary.
No, water. Not quite.
Not quite.
The
but
iron
we,
and
but
aluminum.
All we did is airlifted some water out of it and tested it. We really haven't cleaned it, swabbed it, done the work that'll have to happen.
The iron, aluminum, and turbidity exceeded the primary EPA standards. But like the mayor said, further development might drive some of those numbers down a little bit.
Well, and when you dilute those with the other wells that will go into them, they look at them combined, don't they? They don't hold one well against us if the two combined are within limit, do they?
You can combine them.
Yeah. Jonathan, what would you like to share with us?
I had lunch with a guy out of Texas, breakfast with a guy, excuse me, out of Texas, who said that they pump water out of the ground, turbid water out of the ground, that is TDS of 5,000. And then they clean it up with RO.
Yeah.
5,000. We're trying to get under 500. They bring it down to 600 TDS, and then they drink it. That's why it tastes like it does.
Yeah, Jonathan Stouth, I was just going to say the arsenic is actually below.
Barely.
So it's okay. It's good. KP Ventures did ask if we'd like to get a quote on finishing that well. Of course, it's going to be less because it's not going to be as deep.
Well, you're going to be about 500 feet.
Do you guys want to get a bid at least?
What good? We don't have money for it.
And we need a pipeline.
I mean, we can get a bid, but it's just going to be, great.
Years down the road before we actually get that.
Yeah.
You can open the budget.
So my response to that question would be no. I don't speak for everybody, but my response would be no.
Okay. How deep are we having them finish the south well?
600.
And it's costing us 800.
Right.
So in theory, it should be probably 400 to 500 because
we're
not going half as deep.
About 300 feet. Yeah. So we did talk about, you know, moving ahead with getting a permanent lease on that site.
Yeah.
At least we have a, you know.
Solve the property.
Yeah, solve the property. Yeah.
Because at that point, could somebody else go out and lease it from the BLM and it has our test well on it?
No, not if we get the lease from the BLM.
I mean, if we don't get the permanent, if we just.
But they can go right next to us.
They can go right next to us, yeah.
You guys want to move forward on at least leasing it and tying it up?
Well, we need to do that no matter what.
Anyway. Yeah, that's the $1,000 a year or something. That's a very low price.
Yeah.
So we're doing that.
Oh, okay, you guys are already moving forward on that.
Well, and we're not going to finish it enough to know the quantity then, right?
There's no way. They were airlifting 150 gallons.
Yeah, 150 gallons
out of it a minute, but there's just no way till you've got it lined and screened and packed.
What Jonathan's asking is KP Ventures that are doing the South Well 3 miles down the road, they're wanting to know if we want to bid on how much it would cost to finish that other one at the same time.
And that one's going to be a finished one, though, right, the South Well?
South Well.
Yes. South Well
budgeted the 800 something for it.
Yeah.
Well, we got to figure out how to get a pipeline out there.
That's the big thing.
Yeah, the South Well is on our agenda.
Yeah.
The application.
Yes. Yeah, so we need to bring the other one back, I assume. But yeah, that's what we talked about, is getting that permanent lease for the North Well.
We're going to have a well filled out there, it looks like. And that's been the goal. That's wonderful.
Did you have anything you wanted to add about the convention or anything that you thought was?
No, I thought it was really very good as well to see the vessels, see the cartridges, see how, you know, it was good to have Matt there to be able to see how they're going to be able to operate that. And it looks like it's going to be it'll be fairly simple to operate in terms of changing out the cartridges. So I thought that was very good. There were some good presentations on water treatment, which was good for me to learn more about that. Also, there's, like Carter said, there was a lot of, or Councilman Wilkie, there was a lot of information about reuse. That's a very big topic right now, and I think it's actually good that that's being brought to the forefront, because it seems like almost, or most states are having the same issue with not having the regulations catching up with where the municipalities want to go with that. And that's part of the problem, is the states need to get, you know, get the regulations in place so we can move forward on a lot of these things. So it was good to hear that. I went to a good one on water conservation, which is something that we also need to continue to push. So I thought it was very good.
I saw a gadget that you basically tethered out in the pond, the lake on the hill, and it was solar, so you didn't even have to run the electricity to it. So during the day when the solar's going, it runs UV light.
Yeah.
And it kills all the algae.
It kills the algae in the lake, so it solves that problem. It's about $60,000.
Yeah. Matt found all kinds of toys Matt wants to buy. So he's having a good old time. He's got a big old shopping list now.
Yeah, that's good. Thank you.
Thank you.
That's why they call it a trade show.
Yeah. Yeah.
Councilman, anything else?
I have one item, Mayor. I would, as for Public Works, and I guess maybe Mr. Bittman, you'll have to take notes. I don't see anybody here, but. We really need to restripe the stop marker and red curbs at 300 West and Coal Creek. There at Sunrock. And then the other side now where Mountain Land Supply is, they're parking the trucks almost clear to the corner and you cannot see to turn left or right. So we need to paint that curb red. I don't know what the appropriate length is, but we need to do that because I saw 300, yeah. I saw about two cars almost get hit today there. That's all I have.
Thank you.
Yeah, that one actually is a Sun Pro. Sun Rock is their rock division. Sun Pro is their building. Yeah.
Whatever.
Same thing, though.
Thank you. Staff? Business?
I had just a couple things I wanted to mention, Mayor. Hopefully everyone has aware now, if you've tried to drive down Center Street or University, whichever is your preferred name, the roundabout at 1150 West is under construction, started on Monday. So that intersection is going to be closed for a few months while they get that work done. The other thing I wanted to just mention, UDOT has project out at the Y, the Iron Springs Road, Highway 56 intersection, and they are holding a public open house, public hearing for that project tomorrow. That will run from 5 to 6:30 at Iron Springs Elementary, which is just south of Highway 56 on 4050 West. So just wanted to let people know about that if you're interested. 5 o'clock to 6:30 tomorrow at Iron Springs Elementary.
Do you have any information, Kent, on the other UDOT, the survey they're doing for the Enix Cedar Trail? That's open to the public.
June 17th.
Is when it starts?
Oh, that's when the open house is for the public to come and give input.
Where's that at?
It's going to be in Festival Hall, I assume room 7, but I don't know. It's at Festival Hall.
Okay. That's a pedestrian seven. Bike trail, right?
I mean, correct.
Pedestrian bike.
Correct.
Okay.
It's in the evening?
Yeah.
Yeah, 5 to 7 in the evening. It better not be 5 a.m. in the morning because I won't be there.
I can call you.
Thanks.
All right, Mayor and Council, I just have two quick reports. actually, today's been a good meeting.
Please introduce yourself.
Oh, David Johnson, Economic Development Director. Today's been a good media day. So this afternoon, I spent some time with Fox 13. They're going to be doing a feature story all about our historic downtown and Main Street in conjunction with some other feature stories that they're doing here and will be coming out in a couple weeks. So that was really cool. Had them talk to business owners and such. The other media thing was this morning on 560 AM to talk about the real announcement, the real big announcement, and that's that Winco's coming on the north end of town, an 80,000 square foot grocery store, which I know when I first got here, mayor, council, administration, everybody said, let's get a grocery store on the north end. I heard that charge loud and clear, and honestly, I'm there to help facilitate, but Winco was looking at a variety of properties and developers, as are other stores as well. And so we're excited to have Winco. There's been some question because Winco hasn't formally announced it yet, but they did give us permission because they've submitted applications.
I thought they did.
Not on their website. They haven't yet, if that makes sense. And so they'll be doing more of their formal announcements as they get closer and more through the process. But they said that they are more than happy for us to.
So yeah. David and the city have been questioned on social media. People are like, well, Winco didn't announce it, so it can't be real.
Yeah.
I'll tell you. I'm pretty sure it's real. Typically, I can give you another little insight.
Okay.
I know that they've contacted the people who are going to build it.
Yeah, so
and they're contacting other people.
They are, and so that's what I was going to say. Typically, in these situations, you let the retailer or the business lead the way, and they make the announcement first, and then we can follow suit. But in this case, they felt comfortable with us sharing it. They wanted to create the excitement that's been around it. So, anyways, I just wanted to formally announce that here during city council meeting. Just clarify that it is real. It's not fake news like on April Fool's Day, all the signs you see on Facebook and things. So, yeah. Anyhow, any questions?
No, thank you. That's
thank
great
you very
news.
Much, David.
Thank you.
That shocks me.
Yeah, that is very good news. And we're not as familiar with that brand, but they're fine. They're excellent.
I am. It's a good brand.
Looks like Gabby
thank
has
you.
Something.
This is just for the UDOT ENIC to see your more information. So I do have it on our city calendar. So anybody that goes to our city website, you go to June 17th, you'll find the info there. And then I posted it on our Facebook yesterday and a few days before. So they have like some pre-written posts that they've had me doing. So I'll keep everyone updated. But it's June 17th, 5 to 7 p.m. at Festival Hall, room 7.
And thank you also for your post about West Canyon Park. I think
that one's
helped some of the phone calls.
Yes, text. To clarify all that. I know it's confusing, and you know, Paul helped me learn so much about that. And he was saying if you didn't grow up here and you don't know, and this is your first time even going to West Canyon Park, you might not know. So, Leisure Services, they might look at some like a signage or like a QR code that sends people like, why is the water not running? Go learn about it, you know, elsewhere. So hopefully that helped people.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Actually, Mayor, I do have one other quick thing. Kent, this is for you if you could pass it on to Drew and his department. There's still a proposal for annexation sign that's up on 3900 West. Perfect. What?
Just as you leave Equestrian Point.
Just as you leave Equestrian Point. It's for that one long, skinny, the one that guy that brought in, that was like 40 acres, we did like 2 months ago. The yellow annexation sign is still up, so we never took it down. Can you send somebody out there to grab it? And
on 3900?
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw it the other day when I was out
yeah.
there.
Yeah.
Thank you, staff. Time for the public. Please, I think you're ready. It's your turn. Come forward. State your name and so tell us what you've got.
Okay, good evening. I'm Phil Roach. This is my brother, Ed.
Hello.
And we have an issue. It's not necessarily a critical one, but it's something that's important to us that we wanted to bring to this body. You called the city the other day, and they encouraged us to come tonight. We rent here in Cedar City. And recently we identified another companion animal we wanted to get through the Best Friends organization in Kanab. And when we reached out to our landlord to say, hey, we want to add another animal, she said, well, municipal code in Cedar says you can only have up to two cats, and we already have two cats. No. But you could adopt a dog because you can have up to two dogs and two rabbits. And
how many chickens?
I think it's six.
Non-roosters.
Six.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, six, so good question. We just want to do something good and provide a home for an animal, and we're hitting up against this. And for point of reference, St. George does not codify how many cats you can have. You can, I think, have up to four dogs. We moved back here from Texas last year. The city we were in Texas, same thing. They didn't care about house cats. So we're here to kind of just inquire about, is this the appropriate forum for discussion? Is there a way that we can work to try to amend that? We're willing to do some work to try to open up the discussion on that because we want to do something good for an animal that needs a home. So, curious for guidance.
Is that really part of our city code?
Is that? It is in the municipal code.
Yeah, Class B misdemeanor to violate.
Yes.
Yeah.
To have more than two cats.
Yes, correct.
Or, yeah, more than two
unless
dogs.
Unless they're during
more than
a certain amount of time
chickens.
After child, after bearing kittens.
Correct.
Yeah.
Right? Correct. I think it's a month.
After. Yeah, it's the same
if
one that I would like to change.
We'll
to
pick them up, take them out, fix them, put them right back where we found them. So if you like outdoor cats, feral cats,
well,
they're fixed.
Doesn't the nuisance ordinance cover if
lock yourself out.
40 cats in there? I mean, I think we don't need to limit it. Maybe just have the nuisance ordinance take care
well,
of
if, yeah,
of
if it's
care.
Unsanitary, it's unsanitary. Yeah. But we, yeah, our
and
ordinance.
And it becomes an enforcement issue. That's
right.
Issue.
But
I don't know what part of the nuisance ordinance would cover numerical.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
just do away with the numerical, and if it becomes a, you know,
and if you,
a smell, a. Noise, health issue.
Property
that's
destruction.
Where the, that's where, yeah, that's
property.
Where you get into that, regardless of the number, is what I'm. Is my point.
But your landlord is a different body.
Correct. Right.
They're so, okay with it, but you're saying the Kanab.
She's just defaulting to the municipal code.
The landlord is.
The landlord is.
Oh, okay.
Correct.
If the council's interested in looking at that, how broad do you want staff to draft it? Do you just want to look at cats? Do you want to look at dogs? Do you want to look at everything else in there?
Well, I would like to let people have a couple goats if they want to, because people in town already have them, and we're not prosecuting them.
I think to Councilman Cox's point is trying to just pick a number at random, essentially, is hard to say, because a person could have six and be the best caretaker, and you would never even know about it. And you could have somebody that has one that destroys everybody's property, is a nuisance, is going to the bathroom in everybody's yard. So the number isn't so much the thing. It's
well, but
as
it is,
the, as
it is if you have, I don't know what the number is, but what if you have 12 dogs and the 12 dogs are not behaving? And
that's what,
then,
that's
then
what I'm getting at.
It becomes
at.
A nuisance ordinance, not a number.
I know, but then our poor code enforcement, they're already overwrought with code enforcement. They can't even enforce the laws we've got. I worry about opening the
and
gate
I,
wide open.
Well, and that's the other thing, right? I mean, Randall always says if you want to change a law, you enforce it. And I think if we started truly enforcing our animal code, we would have people here demanding that we change it, because we would have, you know, at least a few dozen goat owners that should be charged with criminal charges according to the ordinance. We have a lot of people that have too many dogs, too many cats, and they're not harming anybody.
If they're not a nuisance and you're being a good neighbor, that's, to me, where we ought to draw the line instead of, you know, because 20 dogs well-behaved can be better than one bad one.
Yep.
I mean, I...
Well, there's...
In theory, yeah.
Yeah.
No. You're
yes,
right.
There is. That's like...
I think you're opening Pandora's box.
If we change... So are you suggesting we find another number? We change, or are you suggesting we just leave it the way it is?
I don't think it should be unlimited.
Okay, so you're saying pick a number.
I'm saying that it should be enforced through a nuisance ordinance, not a number. That's my opinion.
So there's enough sentiment from the council for staff to look into drafting something.
Well, the one of the problems is, and maybe we already have that and we don't know it.
Yeah, we're going down this rabbit hole.
Yeah, we're wasting time as far as what we got already planned this evening. But you may have four dogs and you have a puppy factory going on. Maybe it's no big deal. But then you have two dogs that are a problem. And then so we're calling on them. So I don't know. I think we already have some things in place and maybe we do need to put a number on it.
But you have a whole bunch of people that are already not following the ordinance.
Without
and
doubt.
You have good, honest people who want to follow the law and come
who,
in.
Who actually come and present
want one
themselves.
More cat.
That was, you know, your problem, is asking
what is the number
for
you're
permission.
Looking at?
Yeah.
One,
three.
One more, so three total.
Yeah.
We're not crazy cat ladies.
I met with one of those just a month ago, and she had 40.
So yeah. Why did you ask?
And why
you
know? Is she not in jail? It's a crime.
They asked because of their landlord.
The landlord defaults to the municipality.
They wouldn't have. Yes. If it wasn't for the landlord, they'd have three cats.
We probably would not have even been aware of it. Correct.
Would you like us to come back and do a presentation that tells you here's what the nuisance ordinance says and here's what the
That's
animal
probably is?
And how it could be enforced?
And that might spark some debate as to what, if any, amendments you want to look at.
Chief Adams, do you have any thoughts on this, or would you prefer to stay out of it?
Does the cat bite?
Well, they don't.
Good evening. Darren Adams with the police department. I have mixed thoughts. We had an incident just a month ago with an elderly lady who had the cats under the limit. But the family felt like it was too much, and so animal control spent quite a bit of time visiting the home, making sure everything was good. She was compliant, but the family was trying to maybe weaponize that just a little bit, and maybe with good intentions, because they just didn't feel like she could handle those. And so
she was under the two limit, as it is?
Well, that's a family problem, not your problem.
Correct.
Yeah,
there are probably lots in the neighborhood.
They call our people out.
But again, they call us out. It takes time to try to determine if there's a crime or not. So I don't know that a limit, I mean, I'm not opposed to increasing that. I just don't know what that number
and
is.
And the limit, it's not just this, right? It's most people just do whatever they're going to do. They don't ask for permission, and then we prosecute them if there's a problem. But you know, for people who do have to ask permission, whether it's because someone else owns the property or because they're trying to adopt a child or they're being investigated by child services, we're turning people into criminals that don't need to be.
Right. Because they have three cats.
I mean, I guess the point is if, let's say we do have, right now we have two laws that pertain to it. We have a nuisance ordinance and we have a number ordinance apparently, and we're not enforcing either of them necessarily. I mean, the nuisance one, I guess we do. And we would continue to do that, but we're not. It's like we're going to knocking on doors and saying, hey, how many cats do you have?
If it comes to our attention, to the point that was made, somebody may be in violation. We would never know because they do a great job taking care of their animals. It's those who don't that you know, come to our attention.
Which are going to be a nuisance if they have one or 15, right? I mean,
yeah, to Paul's point, the nuisance ordinance is broadly covers its abandoned vehicles, its smells, its parties, its a whole
weeds,
host of things.
And
so,
kinds
of
stuff.
So I think he's right to bring that back and explain that in further depth, give you some options.
The lady problem that had two inside had a whole bunch outside, and they call me all the time.
Yeah.
But she's feeding them.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's true.
It's
outside.
It's
there is
the
only
inside,
two cats
correct.
Inside.
That's a mix.
But there's a whole bunch on the outside getting fed. And their children don't like that. So, it's a can of worms, folks. Talk to your landlord.
We may as well add milk cows.
Say, I don't think the council cares.
I'd have one in the backyard.
If we have one more cat, so.
Okay. Okay.
Well, it sounds like we're going to go.
He
down
let you have two.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
So okay, it's not like it's no pets allowed.
Okay. So just tell him we talked to you guys, and you guys are cool.
No, I wouldn't say that. Go ahead and say the mayor said.
Okay.
And quote me.
All right.
Because I'm used to getting into trouble.
Yeah, thanks, you guys.
Appreciate the thoughtful discussion.
But apparently they're going to look at
we'll be having a discussion.
Some things. You're going to have more discussions.
Thanks. So, okay. Thank you so much.
Would the council like us to prepare something and bring it back to you?
I don't think we should put a limit on it because we're not enforcing the numbers. We're enforcing the nuisance, and that's where one property or one person's rights end and another begin.
We enforce the number if the nuisance is a problem, then we enforce.
But then we're right back to the nuisance code. So,
Wendy Green, I have an opinion. I feel like people should have their animals, but if you start deleting the numbers, saying whatever numbers, then you're going to have a public problem with the policeman having to keep track of this stuff. And so I think that's why the numbers were there. Maybe you could enlarge the numbers a little bit more, but I think you're going to have a problem if you just leave it to the nuisance.
And for the record, we have one cat.
Mr. Cat.
They even know his name around here.
Good evening, Tom Jett. Two things. One, we'd love to participate on our 200 North property out with that signage for the 250th celebration for the make some adaptions or whatever.
Thank you.
Whatever we need to put the visibility there.
Thank you.
And number two, and Kent would know more on this, we may need to adjust our ordinances, our engineering code standards, and run them through the Planning Commission if we're going to use some different type fittings on the
PVC
the pipe. PVC piping.
Yeah, that's something we talked about that.
I hate to think we'd be a city that doesn't allow it, but have them here manufacturing it.
Once they're here and manufacturing it here, I'm sure.
Yeah, they're not going to be manufactured. They're going to ship the fittings in from Korea. But they said they have all the things. But they're brand new. This is just so brand new, so very brand new. Amazing company.
Well, and the challenge is we allow the PVC pipe, but not if it's downstream of a pressure-reducing valve, which is almost our whole system. So we don't allow PVC. So that's part of our discussion on getting our pressure down in our system so that we can allow that.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone. Any other public comments? Campaign ads? Okay. Consent agenda.
I have one. Yep. I have one question on the consent agenda before you read through it. I just want to make sure on item number three, this is just the annexation issue, and we don't obviously know exactly what they're going to be doing with it if we accept it, but are we going to run into fire flow issues out there like we have on 3900 in that area there by bringing this into the city?
Which piece? Yes. The number three?
Number three, the annexation.
If they develop age.
If I remember correctly, that's a different water line they would be connecting off of. It would be, I think they said they would either tie in 200 North or toward Port 15, right?
So they sit right out there by WL Plastics,
right
next to Port 15. They wouldn't tie into those I don't think they would tie back to the residential lines we're having.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure that we were.
I think they'll probably have their own water issues that we'll have to work out as we go through the annexation. But at this stage, all we're saying is, we'll accept the petition. We're not annexing you. Should those water issues come to the surface during the annexation process, we could say yes or no on annexation.
Thank you. That was my only question. Thank you, Mayor.
And, but it probably will be a question because going to 200 North, going to our 48-inch line, you got to go across railroad tracks and across Highway 56.
Yep. Okay. Thank you.
Quite a bit. Item number one, approval of the minutes dated May 14th and 21st, 2025. Item number two, ratify bills dated May 23rd and approve bills dated June 5th, 2025. Item number three, accept a petition for annexation of approximately 82 acres of property in the vicinity of 4500 West and 800 North. Item number four, approve a lease application on federal lands from BLM Southwell. And number five, approve a contract for public defender services.
I would move that we approve the consent agenda.
Second.
I have a motion and second. All in favor?
Aye.
Mr. Melling, did you vote?
Yes, I voted aye.
Thank you. Item number six, consider an ordinance vacating the public right-of-way and public utility easement located approximately 803 West 600 South.
This is the public way next to the seminary building by Cedar High. Then nothing's changed since last week.
I would move that we approve the ordinance vacating a public right-of-way on public utility easement located approximately 803 West, 600 South.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. This is an ordinance, starting with Mr. Phillips.
Aye.
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 Thank you. Item number 7, consider an ordinance changing a street name from Old Highway 91 to South Main Street.
You're still not Dan Roberts.
Should have brought a sandwich.
Well, I still, I don't want to speak for my other council members. I still have the same concerns. I would like to see that we have a little further study, and maybe you have. Maybe you've visited with the county this past week or had any conversations with UDOT regarding this.
Rick Holman, we've contacted every property owner from Golden Corral down to the Holiday Inn.
Mm-hmm.
The only property owner we haven't contacted is the new building behind Mobetta's.
The one that's under construction?
It's under construction. We've tried to find a contact.
We could get you David Johnson could get you the contact for them. He knows who they are.
That'd be great.
Our economic development director. And they probably don't have an address on the building yet, I'm assuming.
They do.
There was numbers on it already?
Yes.
The number won't change. It'll just change the...
Numbers won't change. We gave a letter to each of the current businesses that are addressed South Main, letting them know that there was a public meeting tonight in the city council. And we notified also all of the other properties south of Mobetta's, and they've also expressed the two motels managers gave their opinions. One said they would not like it changed. One said if it changes, it doesn't matter. Our interest is representing the 450 acres south of the Holiday Inn Express, and we're proposing the change for those future businesses along the current road.
So those, the two hotels, was it the managers you spoke to, or was it Safari Hospitality that owns the hotels?
The manager of the hotels.
Okay, which I think we probably need to hear from, Safari Hospitality, the owners themselves, not just...
Do they have both of those?
Yeah, those are both Safari Hospitality hotels.
I'm assuming, but this may be incorrect, that the managers would make contact with Safari and let them know what's being
proposed. Perhaps. We don't want to assume, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, the reason I asked about the county is because the county currently maintains that road, and I know they have some concerns about it because Rich Wilson has reached out to me. That's why I would really like Dan or you or whomever to visit with them before I am willing to move forward on it.
With the county?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's not a city street?
Nope.
Not
well.
I don't know.
That's what we're trying to figure out.
That's what we're trying to figure out. Because right now they kind of do the maintenance of it and that kind of thing. But the more we move south, of course, the more development comes, the more responsibility for city crews. So it is a little bit undefined.
We'll clarify who is willing to accept responsibility.
And
it's entirely possible we annex to the east side of the road. And we never annex a road.
Possibly.
That's a very real possibility.
Yeah,
but they turned it over when they put the freeway through.
Yeah, as far as UDOT is concerned, I visited with the Region 4 fellow, and their understanding right now is that Main Street continues till you get to that traffic signal on Cross Hollow and Providence Center Drive. So they would have to also be in line with this shift as well.
Isn't that why it got renamed to Old Highway 91? Is because the other one,
probably
I-15, basically.
Well, it is the Old Highway 91.
It's been Old Highway 91.
But you don't name them old until you have a new replacement.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was I-15 to New Highway 91.
To New Highway 91, yeah. So that is to provide clarity, right? I mean, if someone's looking for Highway 91 and they see, I mean, it's to provide clarity. And that's one of my concerns about this 90-degree turn is the clarity and the confusion that's created by a 90-degree turn. And not only that, you have fire and police, you know, I'm sure they will know because we're in a small enough town, but does it create a consistency? And then, you know, is there a logical procession of the name of that street? There's just so many concerns with...
The same road has two different names now,
right,
with each business. So Golden Corral, La Quinta, Cedar City Auto Sales all have a South Main address. The numbering sequence is consistent going from there down to the Holiday Inn Express. So at the intersection of, I can't remember the road, but where Mobetta's is on South. Greens Lake Drive. Mm-hmm. It changes from South Main addresses to Old Highway 91 addresses. So the consistency is probably a reasonable thing to consider.
Yeah. And then also, isn't Maverick technically has an even number, right, which would indicate that it's on one side of the road?
It has an odd number, which would be correct if you considered it to be addressed off of Main Street to the north of them. If the road going north, you know, going to the east of their building, yeah, Old Highway 91 becomes Main Street, now they would be on the right-hand side as the numbers increase. They would need an even number.
So they would have to change, too.
They would have to change from an odd number to an even number.
But remain South Main.
Correct.
This is 10 North Main. It's on the left side of Main Street.
But they branded Main Street going by instead of turning.
Right.
Even though Main Street stopped.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Giving it to Maverick. That was our big mistake.
West. Yes.
It's Cross Hollow Road.
I can see why Golden Corral is there, because it's right on the corner of what is Main Street and whatever that is.
It is the address, yes.
Yeah. But the others, I in question.
Well, we can get clarification on who has responsibility for the road or and the maintenance or lack thereof at this point.
Yeah, that would be helpful and have a discussion with them, because they have concerns, too, about what happens after your project.
But we keep annexing the properties around it and going south.
Correct.
So it's really going to be our road in the near future.
It's city. Within the city limits. David, what other clarifications can I get?
Let's see.
Sorry to interject. Randall had approached me and asked me what I thought from just the business
perspective. Probably need to introduce yourself.
David Johnson, Economic Development. Sorry. And what I recommend, and I'm oversimplifying it here, but on the west side is Scenic Drive. And what I recommended to him is maybe on the west frontage road, we call it West Scenic Drive, and on the east side, we just call it East Scenic Drive. And then it kind of gets rid of the old Main or South Main or all that, and it creates a point of reference that Scenic Drive is on the south end of town, south of the interchange, and there's East Scenic Drive and there's West Scenic Drive. I'm oversimplifying it. It could be anything, but that was just my recommendation to keep it simple. Probably easier for emergency response as well, because they know Scenic Drive is south of the interchange. There's the east and the west side. So it would be like 310 North East Scenic Drive or something along those lines. So anyways, that was just my food for thought when Randall had approached me on it.
Yeah, I don't think a name change is a bad idea. I just don't know if continuing Main after a turn is...
So, Mr. Holman, with your indulgence, I think we need a little further study on this before I think council is ready to move forward on it. Okay. So I would propose that we table this. I don't know how much time you think this is going to take, a week, or do you want to longer? Or?
Well, as the Cedar Trails development starts to sell property, they would like to know an address, and will need an address in order to get a building permit. And the sooner it can be resolved, the better.
Well, that's kind of going to be in your hands now to sort of visit with these entities and talk with them and get their concerns on the table so we all know what everyone's...
What if we just call it Cedar Trails Road?
That's another
option. Boulevard.
Highway.
I worry about the suggestion
like
that there be an
old highway named
East Scenic Drive and a West Scenic
yeah,
Drive.
Yeah, I know.
Even though the numbers may clarify which side, emergency response is
yeah.
going to have to make a good decision on which scenic drive
correct.
To drive on.
Because you're separated by a soon-to-be a five-lane, six-lane highway.
Exactly.
Interstate.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll address some of these issues and then try and get it on the most helpful
okay.
Well, should we just for now table it till next
so we'll just table it till the next
perfect.
Available date.
Okay. Thank you.
That would be my motion.
Is it, yeah, I was going to have a motion and a second, starting with Mr. Melling.
I did.
Aye.
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 Item number 8, a public hearing to discuss proposed increases in compensation to executive municipal officers. Mr. Bittman will have to explain this one.
Okay, so in your budget, which is coming up next, there's a proposal to increase compensation for your employees by 5.3%, approximately. And I say approximately because I can't remember if it's 5.3 or 5.4.
I think
so. The legislature passed a statute a couple of budget cycles ago that said anytime a municipal body, it goes for counties too, wants to increase compensation, funding for compensation for this classification that they made up called executive municipal officers, they have to have a separate public hearing, separate and apart from the budget where you pass the budget to approve the funding. They want to highlight these things. So your executive municipal officers are me, they're your department heads, they're your assistants to the department heads, not the secretarial assistants, but the like Jimmy Roden and Mike Schertz.
Assistant city attorney.
The deputy chief. No, you guys are not. You guys are a whole separate public hearing, potentially. So it's like your fire marshals, your maybe it could include some of your superintendents in public works. That's kind of gray. We don't know if it does or not, but we advertised it for executive municipal officers, so we hit all the requirements of the statute. I would suggest you just hold the public hearing, and if somebody has something they want to bring to you about these officers, this is the time to do it.
We've already approved in the budget the raises proposed. This is just a formality.
Well, you haven't approved the budget yet.
No, but we approved the tentative budget.
Budget they're, discussion.
They're in the budget, yeah.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody gets the same raise percentage.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
But we
did this last year. So.
Yes, yep. you did.
Yep. Go ahead, Mayor.
So we will open the public hearing. Seeing no one.
None of you back there are going to say you don't want the raise? Is that what?
We'll close public hearing and say we did it.
That's we did. Thank you.
Okay.
Item number 9, consider resolution for the adoption of the 2025-2026 fiscal year budget.
Okay. Some follow-up from last week. Mr. Phillips requested information on the on one of the accounts for the Youth Volunteer Center.
Mm-hmm.
The general ledger of the city indicates that that money, $5,000, was used to pay the 4-H folks in 21 and 23. Those must have been the years that they gave us an invoice. We didn't have an invoice for them in 22, and we don't have one for them so far this year.
You mean 24?
Yeah. 24, 25.
Well, 24, 25.
22, because you yeah, he said 22. So 22, 24, 25.
Yeah. So we paid them twice out of there since 2021. The other update is... I'll try to explain it, Kent, and if I mess up, you can tell me how I messed up. We currently have a project called the Emergency Watershed Protection Project to rearmor the banks of Coal Creek. It's a project we're doing jointly with the NRCS, where the NRCS is paying 75% and we're paying 25%. We've awarded that contract to Perco Rock. And when we started the contract, the goal of the contract and our aim was to have the rock meet our match for the projects where we weren't putting a lot of cash into it. When we started the contract, it looked like that's what we could do. They were mining the rock out of two sources, some of the smaller rock was coming out of the right-hand canyon flood area, and a lot of the larger rock was coming out of Three Peaks. They've got to a point in the contract where they need more big rock than little rock. There's no big rock left up in right-hand area.
Really?
Well, they look big to me, but for the purposes of what they're doing in Coal Creek, they're not big.
They look rocks. Really big to me.
So they need to mine them out of Three Peaks. There's some hauling costs involved. Long story short, they're telling us that to finish the project, the entire project, the city's cost is going to be $142,000.
Above what we were already?
Well, that's going to be cash. That's going to cost us $142,000. That'll finish the entire project. We have a way to fund that, and that's what ties back into your discussion of next year's budget. In your storm drain fund, you have a line item before you tonight to approve $450,000 for the Greens Lake Detention Rehabilitation Project. This is also a project we're doing with NRCS, and this was a start of a sinking fund for that project where we were starting to save money up because we know it's going to be over $1 million. So we're asking you to short that by $142,000 and approve that money to go to the Emergency Watershed Protection Project so we can complete it. And I think that's, is that the only budget thing we have, Terry?
That's correct.
Does that change our 25% ratio by having to do this?
No, we're still in the 25% ratio.
We either had to give up rock or cash.
We also looked at scaling back the areas that we would armor. Mm-hmm. If we scale back the areas, it scales back the amount of rock that we contribute, which actually doesn't save us a lot of money.
Yeah.
So.
And we might as well finish it.
So we're kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place.
Yeah.
I do have a couple other budget questions, unless there's.
I have one too. I would.
Go ahead. You go first.
Go ahead, sir.
So if we go to, can you pull up the actual budget, Kent? Do you have it there? Do you have it ready to go? That one.
When is it?
Yep. 124, page 124 at the bottom.
1-24.
1-24, thank you. So it's page 27 if you're going that way. There you go. Page 27. So it's the water fund. I just have a couple of questions just for clarification.
We want to see the capital part at the bottom.
The capital part at the bottom.
There you go, right there.
A little bit more. It's actually the 3900 West one. So we have it proposed. I just wanted to clarify this. We were actually talking about this in Colorado because we were a little bit. So the $1.1 million for the 3900 West and the chlorination, the $17 million. Obviously, we know the chlorination, that one we don't. The $1.1 million, though, is that still we were going to borrow it, or was that actual cash on hand we're putting into that for that?
That was bonding.
Okay, so we don't have any cash on hand that is being put into the 3900 West for now.
We were going to bond $20 million. It was going to cover that.
Correct. Okay, so that was the one question. And then where in here do we have the, just to make sure that we have the extra for the water meters?
So your water meters is coming. You're not going to see it in this document, and this is why. You're diverting money from various projects. There's the 450 West replacement line. That's a budget that's currently in our budget.
Yep.
There's the Amy Avenue project. That's currently in our budget. There's the cathodic protection project. That's currently in our budget. And the backup generator project. Those are all currently in our budgets. They don't need to be in the fiscal year 2025 budget. You're going to see those when we do our rollover projects. You'll see all four of those collapse and go away, and a new line inserted that says water meter replacement project, and it'll total up all of those totals.
Okay.
The other source that's coming from will take care of in a similar way, where we will do a ledger transfer to move impact fees and general fund money between three places, Martin's Flat, North Well Exploration meter replacement.
Okay.
Those are your funding sources.
And then did we ever, where did we land? Can you go to the chain, the summary page, that the 9A that was put out, Kent, the other one? Yeah. Because I just wanted to make sure. So
that's what I want to talk about is 9A.
We did get, this does include, and I read through it, but this does include, this does have the study, correct? The wage study? I believe it's in there, is it not?
Yes, it's included.
Okay, so the wage study is in there. What was the other things that we had?
After last week?
Yeah, I'm just trying to make sure we've got them all before we.
Well, the Youth Futures was already in there.
No.
We discussed that last week.
So last week we included $4,500 for fireworks.
Yep.
We included money for the sewer lab technician out of the sewer fund, $51,116.
That was for the overlap, yep.
That was for the overlap and the new person and the old person. $18,000 for the salary study. $6,000 to replace computers in the finance area. $125,000 for an accountant and associated accoutrement for the office preparation.
What was that word?
Accoutrement.
Accoutrement.
I'm hoping Renan can spell that.
What in the world?
Renan, she can.
Renan, accoutrement.
Just say stuff.
And you could say stuff.
Office stuff.
His desk and stuff.
And then $189,000 was to realign the revenue projections.
Okay.
So those are the things we added. The things we didn't add were the T-Bird Gardens and the Red Rock Center.
And now the question is, do we take out that 4-H? We haven't been taking it anyways.
No, I think we just leave it. And if they don't use it, it just carries over. It's only $5,000.
Huh?
It's only $5,000.
$5,000.
I just think it stays there, and then we just carry it over.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because there's always...
Well, there's always something.
Things.
Okay.
So my question is just on this. Could you explain just briefly, Ms. Marsh, about the workman's compensation and all these net changes that we're looking at?
Yes, I can explain it to you as it was explained to me.
Okay.
So there's a new law that says if firefighters get certain types of cancer, they're automatically considered for workers' comp. Mm-hmm. And that increases our rates with our workers' comp company.
But for all employees?
No.
They have classifications.
They have different classifications. But, yes, overall it raised it quite a bit.
Yeah, because it's under leisure services, it's under recreation, there's changes.
So the other source of increase to the workers' comp rates is when we're evaluated for our workers' compensation rates, they take a three-year claims history. So year one, two, and three on our claims history. Year one's dropping off, and we're picking up a new year. Well, that year one that's dropping off was a really, really, really good year, and that new year that's adding on was not a really good year.
Okay.
So that's having a negative impact on our premiums.
But it just wasn't there at the time we did the tentative budget, so this is all information since we approved the tentative budget.
Yeah, it was unknown at the time.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, but
only question.
Remind me what the $300,000 we were taking from Fiddler's from. There was $300,000 from Fiddler's. There was. I'm just seeing it on here. Scroll down on that, would you, Kent?
We took $300,000 from Fiddler's and $300,000 from the gyms.
And that was so that we could. Anybody remember?
That was a month and a half ago, for Pete's sakes.
I think it was for the water meters, wasn't it?
No, I don't think it was for the water meters.
Or was it for the public safety?
That's how police we funded. That's how we funded police and
fire. Oh, that's right. That's how we got the police and the fire.
Police cars, I think, mostly. Yep.
Okay.
Are you good, Councilman Wilkie?
Yeah. I was just like, why did we kick that again? I knew there was an important.
I would move that we adopt the 2025-26 fiscal year budget.
Second.
May I ask a question, please?
Yes.
Does that include the proposal to completely fund the emergency watershed program, the $142,000?
Oh,
which
that.
Is why we started this conversation.
Yeah, and then we went off of that item. I guess before we, if we can have discussion on the motion.
Absolutely.
Okay. Have we done, exhausted any options as far as taking another look at those specs to see if we can just use the boulders that are already there? It feels like it's over-engineered to me, but I'm not an engineer.
Yeah, so those specs were dictated to us by our funding source, NRCS.
Right.
And so I know they've been involved in all the discussions on this. Jason Dodds with NRCS has been very involved with us on it. I don't believe that's an option for us.
Okay, so yeah, so we...
They dictate the specs, yeah. 75% of the bill. So.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I will restate my motion.
Mm-hmm.
I would move that we adopt the 2025-26 fiscal year budget with the addition of moving $142,000 from the Green Lakes decommissioning project over to the waste emergency management wastewater project. Not wastewater, water project. Is that the correct term?
Emergency watershed protection
that one.
Project.
That one.
Second.
Any further discussion? I have a motion and a second.
Councilman Riddle, I think, is where you start.
I think that's a riddle. Yeah, I think this guy's going to go one by one. Start with Mr. Riddle.
Aye.
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 Thank you. Item number 10, consider memorandum of understanding with Cedar Valley Ranch.
Nothing's changed on that MOU since last week.
I'd move that we accept the memorandum of understanding with Cedar Valley Ranch.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Item number 11. Approve amendments to AIP 049, change order number 9.
I would move that we approve AIP 049, change order number 9.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
I'll abstain.
Thank you. Item number 12. Approve amendments to AIP 049, change order number 10.
I move that we approve AIP 049, change order number 10.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All abstain.
Mayor, I would move that we adjourn this meeting and move into our RDA action.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. And you let us know when you're ready.
Bye, Jonathan. Don't forget to go home.
Yeah, go home. Don't go upstairs.
That way.
Turn right.
Don't that pass way. Go.
Yeah, you've been gone for 3 days, so.
He's conflicted.
He's got to get his lunchbox. Come on.
We all care. All right, gentlemen and staff, I call this meeting to order of the Redevelopment Agency, this action meeting on June 11th at approximately 6:42 in the evening. And we have two items on our agenda tonight. Number one is approval of the minutes dated March 7th, 2025, and consider resolution for the adoption of the 25-26 fiscal year budget. Do I have any kind of a motion on the minutes?
Go ahead.
I'll make a motion that we approve the minutes dated May 7th, 2025.
Second. I have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Second item is the consideration of the resolution adoption of the 25-26 fiscal year budget. Is there any changes on the budget?
No, there is not.
All right. I will entertain a motion.
I move that we adopt the, adopt a resolution for the 25-26 fiscal year budget.
Okay, I have a motion. Do I have a second to that?
Second.
I have a motion and a second. We'll do a roll call. Councilman Wilkie.
Aye.
Aye.
Mayor.
Aye.
Sorry.
Aye.
Sorry.
Aye.
Okay, motion carries.
I move that we adjourn this meeting and go into our MBA meeting.
I have a motion. Do I have a second on that?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Whenever you're ready.
There's not something else on our agenda, is there? You mean this can be the end?
That's it.
Would you like more?
No. Not today. I got to go back to work.
Yeah?
Yes.
Okay, I'll call to order our Municipal Building Authority meeting this June 11th, 2025. We have two items on the agenda. First is the approval of the minutes dated May 7th, 2025.
So moved.
I will second that motion. I had the pleasure of reading those minutes.
I have a first and a second. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Motion carries. The second item is to consider a resolution for the adoption of the 25-26 fiscal year budget. Any changes to this item?
No, there's not.
Okay.
I would move that we adopt the resolution for the 25-26 year fiscal year budget for the NBA.
Sorry, second.
I have a motion and a second. All in favor, roll call, starting with Mayor Green.
Aye.
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 Motion carries, and I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
I move that we adjourn this meeting.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. All in favor.
Aye.
Aye.
Meeting adjourned.
Yeehaw.
Yeehaw. Look at that, even before 7 o'clock.
Had the what?
Middle of animals.